Hey mamas, welcome to Breastfeeding Relief with Bethany. We share incredible stories, tips, and breastfeeding ideas to help on your journey. I'm your host, Bethany Laverne, a lactation consultant and speech therapist who helps mamas with breastfeeding. Not all breastfeeding stories are the same, and we dive into those topics. Welcome to another episode of Breastfeeding Relief with Bethany. Today we have Christy from 1 Year Wellness. We're so excited to have you today. Why don't you go ahead and jump in and tell us a little bit about yourself and your company?
Yeah, hi, I'm Christy Hammerly. I'm a doctor of physical therapy and a certified breastfeeding specialist. I'm the owner of Year One Wellness, a practice here in Austin, Texas. And we primarily help babies from birth through walking with things like torticollis, head flattening or plagiocephaly, milestone delay, and feeding difficulty, primarily breast and bottle feeding difficulty.
Oh, that's so wonderful. This will help our mamas out so much today. So anyone who's listened to the podcast for quite a few episodes knows that I love to talk about tongue ties, specifically in breastfeeding. However, if you've listened to me enough, you know it needs to be a whole team approach, which I feel we are missing and not educating about enough. And so a person on the team that I feel like is super duper important is our physical therapist. So let's jump into, how do you help a baby that has a tongue tie?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So from a physical therapy perspective, you got your tongue tie, right? Which is technically a shortening of the frenulum under the tongue paired with functional difficulties. Usually with these little babies, a lot of times you're seeing feeding difficulties. And what I like to educate providers and parents on is, you know, what's happening with all of the structures around that tongue tie. So there's so many structures in the mouth and the neck that are connected, and you've got all the tissues on the floor of your mouth surrounding the frenulum. You've got muscles in your neck that are connected to the tongue, actually. So you've got some neck flexors here, which are muscles in the front of your neck, and those are connected to a free floating bone called the hyoid bone. And on the other side of that hyoid bone, you have all of the tongue extrinsics or the muscles in the back of the tongue connected. So if you've got a pull on these tissues in the neck, it's going to pull on that tongue and retract it into the back of the mouth. And, you know, regardless of if you have a restricted frenulum or not, like an actual tongue tie or not, if those neck muscles are tight, you're not going to get that maximum range of motion of the tongue. And that's going to make feeding difficult regardless of a tongue tie or not. So I think we know, like with breastfeeding, posture is so important in getting a deep latch. And if you've got tightness in the neck and maybe the shoulders, midsection, or in the rest of the body, it's going to be really, really hard to get the tongue to do what it needs to do if everything's all restricted there. So that's what I like to hone in on as a physical therapist.
I just love that, because I feel like when we think about physical therapists, we just think about walking, correct? And there's just so much more to physical therapy. There's so much more. I'm also a speech therapist. There's so much more to speech therapy, even though I really say I work from the head up. There's still so much we do. You know, we work on cognition, neuro, people that have had strokes. I work in schools. I've worked in hospitals. We do private practice, right? I mean, we both can go on and on. Like, our scope of practice is pretty huge. And so sometimes we don't think so much of all the different things we can do. And especially if you have a tongue tie, you know, I don't think people really think of it, but the frenulum, the tongue tie actually goes all the way to their toes. So if your child has a tongue tie, especially my son who is severe, his was a heart-shaped tongue tie. I mean, we saw so many delays in him that I just felt like weren't being caught and nobody else was addressing. And so I was having to get more education to figure out what was wrong with my son. So I love that you talked about specifically you help babies with torticollis. And I feel like this word's thrown around and parents don't really understand what it means. So why don't you explain what we see with torticollis?
So torticollis, when most providers say torticollis, they are referring to some kind of asymmetrical muscle tightness, asymmetrical posture in a baby's body. It's most commonly seen in the neck. And so I guess classically what people think of as neck tightness, but it really can be tightness along a whole side of a baby's body, or maybe on one side of the neck and the opposite side of the trunk. So it's really a whole body issue, but you usually see things like a head turn preference, a constant head tilt, perhaps head flattening if it's gone on long enough. You know, torticollis is the number one cause for head flattening, difficulty breastfeeding on one side. This can, as it progresses, turn into asymmetrical motor skills, such as maybe only reaching with one hand the side that a baby's been looking towards their whole life, or only rolling one direction, or having a funny hitched crawling pattern. But torticollis is just the fancy medical term for asymmetrical body tightness. And in that first year of life, we want symmetry with everything, symmetry with muscle flexibility, with motor skills, with how a baby uses everything. So that asymmetry isn't going to be the best for a baby's development.
No, it's so great. So I know specifically with our son, that I saw the most was I was like, he is not walking. And he was our second son. And I was just, I was comparing him to our first son, which you shouldn't always do, right? But you also, our first son was very typical, and we had typical peers around us, other babies around us. And I was like, he should be doing this by now, and so we gave him the baby walker and he was doing that, but he wouldn't even try to step by himself. And so also I noticed he drooled constantly. He was all the time drooling. I was changing his bibs, and then once he got older that didn't need bibs, I was still changing his shirt out 3 and 5 times a day because I didn't want my kids soaked in a wet shirt constantly. So what are some other delays that you see with tongue-tied babies and toddlers?
So I will paint the picture of how babies develop through their motor skills, kind of starting from birth, because it really is a progression from one thing to the next. And then I'll kind of relate it to babies with tongue ties, why they might be delayed in skills like crawling and walking, which you would think, what does that have to do with a tongue tie? So when babies are born, the first real motor skill they have is maybe being in tummy time and lifting their head slightly from one side to another. So even those really young babies should be able to kind of pick up their head, clear it, and turn it from left to right when they're on their belly. And when that is achieved, you start to see motor skills move down from top to bottom or from head to toe. So we start with lifting our head slightly. As our neck gets stronger, then we start to push up with our arms. Okay, and so we're moving down to our arm shoulder area. Then as our head and our shoulders and arms get stronger, then a baby starts to be able to push enough to roll and use their abdominals or their trunk. Then once rolling is mastered, they get better at sitting. Once sitting is mastered, they start to use their legs more to crawl. And then crawling gets mastered and they start to pull up to stand, and walk. So it goes from a very like head to toe progression with what they need to gain their motor skills in the right way. And when a baby has a tongue tie, and right, like we talked about, the tissue under the tongue is connected to a bunch of other tissues in the mouth and neck. When they have that tongue tie or any kind of restrictions in their neck, they can't lift their head very well in tummy time. And then right from the start, we're just kind of delaying that natural progression of skills. However, babies are very motivated to move. So they're going to find ways to move, and it might not be in the ideal motor patterns that we want. So they might compensate and learn to move in atypical ways, but then they're not going to gain the typical skills needed for higher level motor skills like crawling and walking. And so that's why, tongue ties can kind of make tummy time difficult, and tummy time not being done in the right way can kind of alter how the rest of the developmental skills roll out.
That's so good. Yeah, because if we start delayed, it's just gonna start stacking up on each other, like you said. That's I think hard as a mom, as you're like, why isn't my kid progressing so much? Yeah. So let's talk about the optimal, right? What we would love to see as providers for a tongue tie release. So let's talk about before and after a release, what that looks like specifically from a PT's point of view.
Yeah, from a PT perspective, I personally and all the therapists on my team do a little bit of, of course, the gross motor, so whole body PT stuff. And then we do a little bit of oral motor as well, which some of your PTs might do, some might not. I do like to have, if I'm working with a baby that's going to be getting a tongue tie release, I like to know that they are also working with an IBCLC, so a board certified lactation consultant, or a speech therapist in OT, just depending on the feeding goals that they have and depending on, what providers are available in their area. But from a PT perspective, I do like to see them for a few visits before the release. Every baby's a little different. So, maybe that's one or two visits, maybe that's two or three, four visits. It kind of depends on the age of the baby, where they are in their feeding journey, what we're working on. But I do want to make sure that relatively all or most of that muscle tightness or restrictions in the neck and mouth area are relieved or gone. And this is so the release provider can, when they lift up that tongue, they can get a really good assessment of how much the frenulum is actually restricting the tongue mobility versus maybe those other tissues on the floor of the mouth or in the neck. I like to make sure that a baby doesn't have any signs of oral aversion, because those babies that have signs of oral aversion, in my experience, are more likely to experience some kind of feeding aversion after that release procedure. I like to make sure a baby has some kind of suck coordination. That way, when they do get a tongue tie release and they have all of this extra mobility of the tongue, they somewhat know what to do with it. And they're not just completely lost with what to do with all this new tongue after the procedure. And then I like to make sure that the parents are comfortable with any kind of aftercare exercises that they may be given by their release provider to just ensure that healing is as best as it can be. We don't get any kind of excessive scar tissue when that wound is healing under the tongue. But a big part of that is stretching the neck, working with the baby to release any tension, working on the floor of the mouth, kind of melting away any tension that may be in the areas around the frenulum. And then I like for them to be seeing a therapist after to work on, excuse me, all of those oral motor, tongue mobility components. So I really want to take advantage of the new mobility they have with their tongue and neck. And practice all the different tongue movements, practice suck training, and practicing those in different positions. So, in side lying, in tummy time, in positions that they may want to get into when they're breastfeeding, just to make sure a baby can use their tongue and use their neck because posture is so important in breastfeeding, in all the different positions that them and their feeding parent might want to get into when they're feeding. So, a couple sessions before, a couple sessions after. Every baby's different. Some may need a little bit more, some may need a little bit less, but there are goals for both pre and post release.
No, I love that. Because I love how you're like training them, right? And so I feel like parents don't know that physical therapists, especially ones that are trained, will also work in the baby's mouth, especially on sucking. I know we work with pacifiers. We also sometimes ask parents to bring in specific bottles, right? I will sit and watch you breastfeed, make sure that we set you up for success, maybe change your different positions. And so I love that you're doing that too. So, moms, if you think about this whole team approach, you might feel like, oh, this is overlap. But I feel like this is so perfect because you only come and see me for 60 minutes and then you go see PT for 60 minutes, but we're overlapping you, overlapping. We're teaching you the same thing. And especially those tongue tie exercises and stretching your baby. And I always think it's good that another professional is stretching the baby's tongue. Like I'll go through the exercises with the baby just to make sure that the tongue is not adhering to the base of the mouth again. Because I feel like sometimes parents, we don't like to hear our babies cry and we're like, oh, I'm sorry, that's hurting you. Okay, I won't do it so hard. And it's not that, Christy or myself are doing it so hard. We're just making sure the baby gets a really good stretch so it's not that tissue's not adhering back to each other. The biggest thing I say, mom, when you look underneath the tongue, you should see a white triangle, right? And you think about a window, mom. You don't want the window to shut on the tongue, you want the curtains to close on the tongue. So you want that triangle to come together like curtains. You don't want that window to shut. I always think that's a really good visual. If it, if it's starting to look like it's closing like a window, really get back into that pediatric dentist. I would be more than happy to see your baby as a speech therapist. I know Christy would be more than happy to stretch your baby's tongue, because we just don't want that to close, and we just don't want you to have that revision again. We're all here. We want to set you up for the best success. So you can also, mamas, go come download my freebie I have, to make sure you are doing enough stretches. I have that you can come check off, make sure you're doing it 6 times a day for those stretches. I also have a private podcast you can listen to that talks also in depth on this whole team approach. So, Christy, thank you so much for coming on today. You are such a great resource to all my mamas. Let all the mamas know how they can connect with you.
Yeah, and that's such a great point, what you said about, stretching and having a provider do it. I love when release providers do or can schedule follow-up visits just to make sure that they are check, they know what it's looked like right after the procedure, and they can check maybe a week or two out how it's healing. And then I don't know about you, but whenever I get clients in that have had a release, I always offer, hey, do you want me to do the stretch this time? Give you guys a break, or do you want to just keep doing it at your own schedule? And all of the parents are like, hey, please, you do it. I don't want to do it this time. Make sure we're doing it the right way. And so I feel like it is valuable just to have a provider's hands who, isn't as emotionally attached to your baby as you are doing it. But yeah, you guys can find me on pretty much all social medias at Year One Wellness, all spelled out, at my website, yearonewellness.com. And I do, free consultations, and I do virtual consultations for everyone across the US. So come check out, reach out to me if you have any questions. If you live in Austin, Texas, we do baby play classes monthly. We have physical therapy, and we're always in the community doing different speaking engagements and things like that. So definitely connect with me, reach out. I would love to chat with you guys.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for helping all of our mamas. I know some will reach out to you, especially because I keep preaching this whole team approach. So thank you for all you do and coming on today.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much if you would share it with another mama or post on social media and tag me. I want to personally thank you for wanting to help other mamas. You got this. I'm rooting for your breastfeeding journey.